So, I want to show you what a healthy church looks like. Just an outline of a healthy church. Husbands, love your wives just like Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That in itself is just a message for the church right there. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And so, as we work our way from the macro, meaning the body of Christ, and work our way down into our own individual position, becoming whole and complete in Christ, I want to share with you some principles that we need to employ individually to make this happen. So we're going to be on a journey, and this is preparing the entire church to be one healthy body. And I want to show you how this principle works in real life. We, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one of us are members one of the other. Every one of us are interlocked. None of us are actually separate from one another. The carnal mind cannot perceive that. That's a principle that's very foreign. Because the world has taught us the very opposite, that we are all separate. And so we need to go through these principles over and over again over time for it to really start to sink in. We don't always get revelation of a truth the first time around. We need to hear it sometimes over. But I may want to ask for a couple of volunteers just to illustrate how this works. I want to share with us three principles of wholeness. These principles are universal principles, meaning that it works whether it's in the spiritual realm or whether it's in the natural realm, they will apply. It works for mathematics, it works for quantum physics, it works in every branch of science. They're principles that apply, period, in the spiritual and the natural. And these are principles that were developed by a Greek mathematician. He's the one that first coined them 300 years before Christ. And from then until now, they still are the principles that run everything in the science world today and that we do. And it applies both in the natural and the spiritual. And these three principles, they build one on top of the other. They're progressive, and it's how we're going to become interlocked together and become one body, understanding that it begins with you and I abiding in Christ and understanding what that means and how we do that. This is the first principle. This is what we want to look like. And I use this symbol to say the church, there are different parts, but it's just one. It's kind of like a puzzle that interlocks together. Many members, but it's just one body interlocked. Now, if you were to take a look at that, that might be whole and complete, but if one part of it was to be broken, is the whole thing whole? Would it be whole again? It wouldn't be whole if one part became, and that's why God says to build the church to be how we are building it. If a member of the church, if we were on this journey together and we were building together and one person was out of line, we need to speak to that person to bring them back in line. And if they don't listen, we get others. And if they don't listen, you have to expose it openly. And if they don't, you need to put them out, otherwise they'll mess up the entire thing eventually. Now, that may sound hard. Churches don't do that today because they don't want to offend and that type of thing. Everybody wants to be politically correct. Just last week, my wife and I, we had a meeting with our leadership. And we had to put one of our main leaders that had been with us for a long time, we had to strip her of everything. She was actually the worship leader. She had lost that. She was part of the deciding part of the leadership team. She was stripped of that. And she was part of the events coordinator. And when we had to lay on her, she broke down and fell on the ground and started to bawl and cry. My heart was broken. We did what we had to do. And I really broke my heart to see how it affected her. But she had to be moved because we can't have somebody worshiping, and she had things going on outside in her life that she wasn't prepared to change. And she was even using scripture to try and validate why it was okay to keep doing it. So it had to be done, Otherwise, you'll infect the whole church. And she was given chance upon chance upon chance, and she just wouldn't do it. So sometimes we just got to do things that are hard. But in the end, as I was sharing with Pastor Weaver, my take on this is that, and this is our community in our local church, our leaders know that everything that we do, every decision we make, everything we get involved in must have one trajectory: unity. Everything must work to bring us together. If there's any decision we have to make or anything we get involved with that's not going towards unity, we don't get involved in it. We don't entertain it. Everything must work to bring us together as one, because that's what we need to be. Now, here's the first principle of wholeness, and it's progressive. And if you can understand the chart here, I won't need any examples. Anybody to volunteer? Now, see if you can follow me. If A is equal to C and B is equal to C, then A and B must be equal to each other. You understand that, right? The first principle, things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Now, let's just assume that we'll use C to be Christ. And of course, the same thing we're talking about, if you abide in me and I in you. If I abide in you, Richard, and you abide in me, what is the difference between you and I? There's no difference. So let's say if A was equal to C and B was equal to C, then A and B must be equal to each other. There's no way around that. I believe that's simple. We get that one, right? The second one that builds on that is that if equals are added to equals, the wholes are equal. We're understanding that? And these are things, I do not know if after I'm gone and in some time to come, these are things that you might want to discuss in your groups, but it might be worth it. If equals are added to equals, the wholes are equals. A and B are equal to each other. That's one. If I add them together, each one, which are equal to each other, the entire thing, if I add them together, they're all equal. That whole thing is equal. Are you seeing that? Yes? I don't know if you're following me. Yes? If you don't say yes, at least do this. Okay. And the final principle that builds on that, and these are things that this one you'll probably be familiar with, it says the whole is greater than the parts, but the parts of the whole are equal to the whole. If you and I are equal to Christ, we're equal to each other. You put you and I together, we are whole, we are one. If you join us to another one who equal to each other, you and we are still one, but we are all equal to each other, but we are just one. And if you keep building that out, the whole thing, it might be many parts, but the whole is greater than the parts. But each of the parts are equal to the whole because they're all equal to each other. This is how the body of Christ becomes one. And the principle suggests and implies it has to be done together. That's why God says you must be your brother's keeper. You must consider each other more highly than yourself. You must put others first. Why? Because this is the way it's been designed to do. Now, to do this requires what? The greatest commandment has to come into effect. Love one another. Jesus said in John, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. You love one another as I have loved you, love also one another. Here's what I found is a problem, and this is just for your consideration to think about. I have found in working with thousands of people over the years, and even in our community, the average person does not love themselves. They say they do, they want to, they hope they do, they would like to, but in reality, they don't love themselves. So sometimes I would ask someone who smokes, or maybe someone who just indulges in bad lifestyle habits, and I say, do you know that's not good for you? And you'd be surprised. They're aware. Well, I know that's really not a good thing to do. I know it's not a healthy habit. So why do you do it? Well, it's a habit. Well, I'm not disciplined enough. Well, do you love yourself? Yes. Do you know that's not good for you? Yes. Do you know if you keep doing it, it'll hurt you? Yes. Do you love yourself? Yes. But you just said you know that's not good for you. Yes. So why do you do it? Well, it's just a bad habit, or I'm not strong enough to resist the urge. The truth is, if you loved yourself, you don't have to try not to. You just have no desire to. When you love yourself, you don't desire to do something that you know and willfully know it's wrong or not good for me. Just like as a child of God, the Spirit of God working in you, you don't go and do things that you just don't go and hang out in the wrong places. You have no desire for it. You don't have to say, I have to try and fight to keep out of the bar and the clubs. You have no desire for those things. Not when the Spirit of God is working in your life. When you love yourself, you don't want to do things that hurt yourself. The thing is, if I don't love me, I cannot love you. And if I don't love me, I have an issue between me and God. I have not yet seen who God is. Because I am in his image and his likeness. And if I really see who he is, and I know that I'm made in his image and likeness, my gosh, I have to love me. I can't help. I mean, you got to now teach me how not to get full of myself. As I have loved you, love one another. By this, all men will know who you are. Not by the fact that you go to church, or you walk with the Bible, or you know the name of Jesus, or you can talk the talk. You'll know, the people will know you one way, the love you have for one another. But I can't love you if I don't love me. Let me see how the pieces are going to start to fit together. So that when, especially after this afternoon session, when we talk about healthy habits and eating and so on, and then we go in front of a buffet table, and we know, well, this is really the best thing to do. But this, oh my God, I really like that. It smells so good. It tastes so good. But I really know it. And watch, observe what's going on in here. Observe how the flesh is really not just weak, it pulls. And the issue is not what's healthy and what's unhealthy. That's not really the issue. The issue is who rules your life. If it's for me, if I give in and say, and I'll find some excuse to make it okay. Once can't hurt. Okay, let me just do that. But as long as I let flesh rule, spirit is dead. So I'm going to choose for myself. I want to fulfill my desires. And then I go home and they say, your child's sick. Let's pray. You don't have no power. Your life is not ruled by spirit. Your life is ruled by flesh. You go to church Sunday, and Pastor Eugene preaches a good message. Whoa, what a word. Come Wednesday, it's leaked out. Because we are carnally minded. I'm talking about the shift in paradigms. What is going to take to move from one side to the next cannot be done with traditional Christianity. It takes a higher step, and we're going to see exactly by the word of God what is required to do it. And it's going to challenge us without question. If it didn't challenge us, it won't be good anyway. But if we do it together, we could do it. All right, so we understand the principles of those three principles. It starts with me being equal to Christ in. I abide in him, he in me. Now we have to understand what that means for us individually. But if we start working on that together and we start to support each other in that effort, watch the transformation that's going to start to take place in your church. And 5 years down the road, Pastor Eugene was said, I must have a call for a prayer for healing, and nobody comes to the altar. Because everybody's walking in this thing now. Everybody's walking in the kingdom. The Spirit of God and the reality of it is becoming true. So now we are at the point where we're going to look at the kingdom concept of health. Now what I'm going to share with you about the kingdom concept of health is going to start to make more sense. If I told you this first, it would not have made much sense. Oh, it's 25 after 10. Do I stop? This is the last leg of this session, and then... Okay. And then come this afternoon, when we talk about the principles of how this body works, and right diet and so on, when you add that to what you're going to get this morning, the pieces will fit together, and hopefully we will be better equipped to make better decisions. 3 John 2 is usually used a lot in the body of Christ to talk about health. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health. This is a New King James Version, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. I want to share a couple of things regarding the scripture. Now, the first thing is that to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, if you look at, you cannot take verse 2 and separate it from verse 1, 3, and 4. The whole context of being in health as your whole as your soul prospers, that whole context is based on living by truth. Can you see that? Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified to you. And I want you to just take a note of these things, because this is a scripture. These are a couple of passages you'll want to study out on your own. In fact, I'm going to encourage you, study everything out on your own. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Don't listen to what I or anyone else says. You must hear God for yourself. The church has to go past. Now, I understand there is the order of things in the church, but a man and a woman of God must hear God for themselves. So when people in our community come to me, one came to me, he said, this is he's been in church for a couple of years, and he still likes to listen to a lot of the raga, I call it raga raga music. Secular music stuff that has the wrong spirit in it. And so he wanted to make a change. I guess the Spirit of God is working. He came to me and he said, look at these CDs that I have, a whole stack of them. Which one should I keep? I'm not going to tell you which ones to keep. Are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? You need to know this one has to go. This one has to go. This one has to go. I'll keep this one. I don't need to tell you which one to do if you are hearing from God. If every time I pass, I need to say, don't listen to that. Don't wear that. Don't go there. How do you hear God? And so we all have to come to, we have to know. So when you hear somebody gives a message, let the Spirit of God speak to you. You go back. Don't just hear Sunday and forget. Go back into the Word. Let God speak to you. Now take note of these words. These are the original Greek word. When the word prosper is the Greek word you do, and it means a successful journey, particularly when you look at the root of it, it's talking about a successful journey in the will of God. When you hear that scripture quoted in many circles in Christianity, prosper and be in health, it's normally talking about, people normally refer to financial and material prosperity. And you can reference that with Romans 1:10, where Paul talks about, I'm coming to you and I pray for a successful journey in the will of God that I get to you. It's exactly the same word. The prosper, it means a successful journey in the will of God. The word health, the word hugiaino, from the root hugiase, means to be whole, to be sound, or to be complete. Soul, the word suke, speaks of that which experiences life, and it refers to the heart of man, what man lives by, what directs life, out of where comes the issues of life. It's talking and speaking of that. For, which is a very important verb in those verses of scripture, because for is a verb that always connects the previous, the prior statement, the previous thought that connects the previous thought. And it's important to note that the word walk is not speaking about the action of walking where you put one foot in front of another. That word walk, periapatio, means to live with purpose in view. Now, again, go back, look at your Greek concordances and see it. Now, look at this. If you read this and understand what the Word of God is saying, beloved, I pray that you prosper. I pray that you have a successful journey in the will of God in all things. We'll break it down a little bit. And be whole, sound, and complete. Just as your soul, that which experiences life, also has a successful journey in the will of God or develop in the things of God. For, because of that, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. Now, I'm going to share a few points with you that brings it together. First of all, love and truth are inseparable spiritual values for accurate posture and growth in the kingdom of God. You can't separate that. Two, God wants us to succeed in fulfilling purpose in all things. You can reference that with Psalms 1:1-3. You can also reference what I just said, that love and truth are inseparable spiritual values for accurate posture for growth in the kingdom. You can reference that with Ephesians 4:15. Being in health is necessary to succeed in fulfilling God's purposes for our lives. Colossians 2:9-10. Being in health is necessary to succeed in fulfilling God's purposes for our life. Being in health relies on successful development of our life in God. That's prospering in health. Sorry, that's as our soul prospers. 1 Thessalonians 5:22-23. The successful development of our soul or our life in God relies on living by truth. Living by truth is necessary for our pursuit of purpose. And God's joy is most filled and in turn fills us when we live in truth. I can give, Pastor Eugene can give you those notes that you can probably use if you all want to go over some of those things. But in a nutshell, this is what you can break it down to look like this. Biblical health is a state of wholeness of being, which is necessary for succeeding in fulfilling the purposes of God for our lives and is attained through the effective development of life in God based on living in obedience to his truth. That's really what health is about. That's what being in health is. Now, because it's prospering in all things, it includes your financial prosperity. It includes material gain. It includes no sickness. It includes all things. But it's not about how to not be free of sickness and disease and how to get rich. It's about how to fulfill the purposes of God by living spiritually accurate in God. That's what true health, according to the kingdom of God, is. And we're going to learn in a little bit based and compare it to the world's perspective and what God is saying, and we're going to have to choose which way we'll follow, the world or the kingdom. We are children of God. We are not of this world. We don't follow the world's ways. You see how challenging it's going to be. It'll start to get, because when we leave here, we're going to be faced with all that the world is going to present. And then we'll have to make a choice. From the very beginning, he gave us a choice. I've set before you two paths. Choose which one. We're back to that choice again. Are we still here? Okay, are we getting somewhere? I hope so. Now, if you understand that biblical statement, you'll also see it reflected right here. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Of course, we know that God does not bring disease. He will not allow those things to happen because I am the Lord who heals you. Here's just one little principle that can be built out into a message, but let's just say this. God is the one who heals. Not a medicine in a bottle, not a herb in a bottle, not anything that comes out of a bottle. They may support a process, but God is, and we have to put that in our minds because believe me, as simple as it sounds, most of us don't understand that. Because the average Christian, maybe not at Harvest, if the doctor says, you know, sir, ma'am, you have diabetes and you have to live on this note for the rest of your life, it's easy to believe that. And then you come to church, and you hear Pastor Troop says, I am the God that heals you. It's kind of hard to believe that as not, it's easier to believe what the doctor said. Isn't that true? And so we live on our medication. Then because it controls the symptoms, some people even perceive that as I'm well. I can't tell you over the years the amount of people have patients that come into our clinic and they say, Doc, I just came for a regular checkup. Just for a general checkup, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm in good health. Now, they're taking hypertensive medication. They're taking diabetic medication. They're taking medication for their heart. But everything is controlled because everything is controlled. Hey, you know, I'm good. I just want to do a drug test. You're not healthy. It doesn't matter you don't feel symptoms. You're not healthy. Healthy is not how my body feels and functions. Healthy is how my life plays out and reflects in this. Because when this breaks down, it's an absolute reflection of how I've been living my life. And we're going to understand, it's not our diet that's the issue, it's our thinking that's the issue. Thinking is the issue, not the diet. I can tell us all about good, healthy eating right now, and we won't necessarily go and do it. Isn't that true? We may do it for a week, we may do it for a month, but guess what? We'll slowly drift back into our old habits. I mean, there's so much information on the internet. We've probably been to seminars about health and good information, but it doesn't necessarily, just like the word of God, it don't transform our lives. Because we don't really understand as a man thinketh in his heart. So we see that as true. Now, I'm going to share some principles with you on a concept that we've developed over the years. Our time will not allow us to get all into it, but I want you to write these down because these need to be discussed. And Pastor Eugene, I'm going to send you, well, when my book is finished published, I'll send that to you, but I'll send you some other notes, which if you want, you could share with the people based on some of these things I'm going to share with you. Okay. You can write these down because this is going to encapsulate what we just shared about God's perspective on health. Health is originally a divine kingdom concept initiated by God from creation, and it's not an earthly idea developed by man or a government. What man has developed is a deficient model of it, a compromised model of it. The world, by the way, will give us versions of what the kingdom is. The God of this world will give us what looks like, but it's never the right thing. It's never authentic. But it will hold some measure of truth. But health, if you understood what we just went through, health is originally a divine kingdom concept which was established when God put man in his image and likeness in the garden when he was whole and complete, and therefore health had nothing to do with sickness and disease because he hadn't fallen yet. Health is about how to walk in fulfilling our dominion mandate on this earth. It's a place of being whole and complete. That is health. Are you with me? I'm going to skip through, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip through a little bit quick, but you just want to take note of these. Health is God's perfect will for man and a condition inherent only to his kingdom. Therefore, health in God's kingdom is the result of being connected to God's will. In this world, if you live according to this world, I promise you, you cannot avoid sickness and disease. And some people, well, 80% of the American population, 50 years or older, have one or more lifestyle disease. And many of them think it's a normal part of life. In Trinidad, there is a saying in our culture when people start to get up into the mature years, well, something have to take you. That's what people say. The word of God says, God promised us in Psalms, I will satisfy you with long life. And you'll know my salvation. In the kingdom of God, you may grow into a ripe old age, go in your bed and lie down just to take a rest and just quietly go. No pain, no suffering. Not spending the last 20 years living with some type of ailment. The next one, health is a divine state of being imputed to man for walking accurately in his dominion potential and necessary to effectively execute the heavenly purposes of God in the earth. If we really want to be, we have to be health, health which is what? Being whole and complete, walking in truth, fulfilling the things of God. The divine state of health is man's original created state of being in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, health is required for man to live in his divine characteristics and functionality. For us to live and function as God would want us. Do you know what a normal functioning human being looks like? One answer. That's right. Jesus is a normal functioning human being. That's how a human being was made to function. He's not an extraordinary. God made man to live just like that. And he came and he paid the price and his whole transaction of the cross was for us to be restored back to that. What is our issue? This world. This world. You see, that sounds simple. But isn't that our biggest struggle? To break free from this world? Next one. Health is related to dominion and authority, man's risen position. Healing is related to sickness and disease, man's fallen position. Oh, it didn't come up. Oh, did I miss that? Health is the divine state of being imputed to man for walking correctly in his dominion potential and necessary to effectively execute his heavenly purposes of God in the earth. Sorry if I'm moving a little bit too fast, but that's your fault. Health is related. How did I get to this one? Didn't I do that already? Okay. Health is related to dominion and authority. Now, you know what this becomes confusing? Because every time I say health, our unconscious conditioning that health is about your body keeps kicking in every time I say health. But that's not what health is. What the world said health is not what health is. You understand the shift in part? This living in the kingdom of God is a complete different way of thinking. If you don't get it right away, it's something that has to be practiced and walked in. Healing is related to sickness and disease. That's man's fallen state. Next one. Health is natural to those who walk in the higher calling of God's kingdom. Healing is necessary for those who walk in the lower ways of the kingdom of this world. Next one. Health is necessary for kingdom functionality. Healing is necessary for worldly survival. Next one. In health, no healing is needed. Healing is God's divine provision of grace for our fallen humanity because of his inseparable love for man. Because of God's inseparable love, he had to make provisions after his fall for his healing. The church majors in healing, not in health. Healing is for those who walk on a lower level of life. Those who will not discipline themselves to walk in the ways of God, they need healing. Those who walk in the higher calling of God, those who press towards the mark, those who don't look back, those who have forgotten the past and press towards the mark of the high calling, those who live at that level of life, they live in health. They live in Christ. Christ abides in them. Christ cannot truly abide in our hearts when we live in disease. Otherwise, who needs Christ? Am I right? I think I need a drink. Was the drink that you used in Philadelphia? Bourbon? I'm trying to lighten the ear. So kingdom health is really hinged on this scripture. Now, if you were tracking what we were saying, for us to be one in Christ and for us to become holy and for us, we are sanctified by the word, we have to be sanctified. And we can't do it if there's evil in our life. May the God of peace, and there's a reason why it's of peace here and not of love or grace or anything else, himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification or being made holy happens one way, completely. Spirit, soul, body. Sanctification is not being sanctified spiritually, and physically we live in the old how. Sanctification is a complete process that we have to go through by the Spirit of God, and it has to be done completely, our whole spirit, soul, and body. What that means is I'm trying to live right, I'm striving to live right over here with God, spiritually, but over here, physically, I'm allowing the passions of my flesh to rule. I promise you, that's not going to grow. It can't. It just can't. Romans 8 says it cannot. Truth, which is what we are sanctified by, and the word of God, which is truth, truth must be applied here and there. If truth is not consistently applied, spirit, soul, and body, there will not be true sanctification. Are you following me? Over here, physically, it requires something called discipline. No shortcut around that. Over here, to apply the truth of God's word, it requires sacrifice. This is based on the word of God. Sacrifice for my spiritual growth, discipline for my physical well-being. And discipline and sacrifice got to meet for my mind, which is between the two, to be successfully renewed. We can understand this. The next one is so really nice, because we'll understand this in a minute. But my point here is this. We need to be sanctified completely. We got to be whole. And this wholeness in Christ lives the fullness of God in human body. So you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of and ruler of all authorities, all principalities. For in Christ lives the fullness of God. One version says the fullness of God bodily. So you are complete in your union with Christ. Being sanctified completely is having being filled with the fullness of God. Here's what Ephesians 3:9 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's sanctification. That sanctification is the transformation that we're supposed to go through by the renewing of our minds. But you and I, by the abiding principle, could be filled with all the fullness of God. There is no world in this. There is no world in this. It's a complete divorce. It is not, oh, well, 90% of my life is for God, 10% is the world. You have lost. In God's world, in the kingdom of God, there is no one foot in, one foot out, or 2 foot in and 2 toes out. In God's kingdom, it has to be 100%. Is that true? Am I speaking the truth? And so this position that the church holds today, the condition called lukewarm is the culture of the church today. We want a little bit of each. And Jesus said, that makes me nauseous and I can't keep you. I have to put you out. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand what we possess. And so the concept that we have, we call it whole living. We call it the lifestyle of the kingdom. And this is how we live and move and have our being. You see, that's a common thing in church, you know. Well, in him we live, we move, but we really have no idea what that really means. We have no idea what that experience is like. We don't live for this. Do you see how high a call this is? This takes us far beyond living like this world. People will want what we have. People will believe what we say. People will believe in the love of God when we are one. And so, kingdom health is the journey of restoration of the fullness of God in Christ through the personal and complete wholeness of spirit, soul, and body. That's what kingdom health is in a nutshell. And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the day. And so, let me just wind down on this segment here and put it to you this way, that kingdom health, or health according to God's kingdom, is freedom from every sickness and disease. It's freedom from lack and limitation. It's freedom from poverty and struggle. It's freedom from ignorance. It's freedom from relational problems. It's freedom from... It is being free indeed. You cannot be full with the fullness of God in Christ and living crippled. It's not consistent. But this is who you are. It's who I am. It's who we are. This is what's been given to us. This is our salvation. This is what we are working through. But we cannot work it through in any way contaminated by the world. We are not of this world. So we're going to look at not just, it's not about healing your body, it's about healing your life. And we're going to understand that as we go through the other sessions. Hear what Proverbs says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole bodies." Well, I didn't really see any diet or broccoli or nutrition in that. And so if we keep them in our heart, what it will do for us. And so I was sharing this with Pastor Eugene yesterday, that the body of Christ has a major heart problem. So I was telling my wife last week, I said, you know what? I've come to realize that in the natural world, I'm a naturopathic doctor. In the body of Christ, I'm a cardiologist. Above all else, guard your health, guard your heart, because everything we do flows from that. Key, key, key. And where does Christ dwell? John says Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Now, we can't believe that by faith if we are carnally minded. The carnal mind cannot accept that truth. We could only make an intellectual acknowledgement of it, but we cannot perceive and receive its truth until we start to shift our thinking. So let me close by the word of God says what causes disease and what keeps the body healthy is the condition of our heart. Let me just close this segment by sharing a few scriptures with you that validates this. You can just probably jot them down and look at them later. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. for this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Anytime the body, anytime the Bible talks about the health or the condition of your bones, it's really talking about the health of your whole body. And by the way, just for reference, the bones, of course, is the structure of your body, and the blood, which is the life of the body, is made inside the bones. So when the bones get messed up, pretty much everything else starts to become affected. So, Proverbs 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And later on when I talk, I'm going to show you how the whole stress factor and how our thinking actually plays into this. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I want you to look at how the heart is in all of these things. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall it add to you. This is a stress-free, disease-free life. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the body, but envy the rottenness of the bones, which basically is speaking of cancer. And by the way, neurosciences validate how envy, bitterness, unforgiveness, particularly create malignant cells in your body. More than a bad diet, by the way. A sound heart is the life of the body, envy the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. You see, we don't understand when we say life and death is in the tongue. We don't understand when we don't speak good to people. And we lash people with words that we actually could be contributing to their ill physical well-being. A virtuous woman is the crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones. Oh, Lord. Relationships. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Interesting. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities and who heals your diseases. I'll stop there. Now, the world is going to say, eat right, exercise, drink your water, get enough rest, manage your stress better, and they all play their part. The Word of God says, wrong relationships with one another and with God, and what you have in your heart will either keep you healthy or it will make you sick. We're going to understand in the afternoon session how the way we live actually does that. So I want to put to you this morning, the root cause of sickness and disease is not the diet. It is our way that we think in our hearts. And we just have to understand that a little bit clearer, which we will do later on. So we could take a break and stretch our legs and, you know, run to the bathroom, do what we need to do. And we'll try to finish up for lunch the other half.